Hi. For those of you guys joining us for the first time, my name is January and I am the Worship Arts Director here. There's a helicopter up there. I don't think they're after me yet. We'll see. And to my Evergreen family, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach. It's my first time ever, and so please forgive me if I bumble through some words or if I rap through this entire sermon. I've been known or I've been told that I talk very fast. This week, we continue our mini-sermon series, Overflow, by focusing on Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. And before I get into the text, I just want to say I love the Psalms because I think it's so authentic in its posture of expressing human emotion. Whenever anybody tells me they're having trouble praying or they need to borrow words from somebody else, I always refer them to the Psalms. And I just feel like anyone could relate to the varying degrees of lament, grief, frustration, hope, and even the sad joy that is very present and honestly manifested within the Psalms. And so let's look at the text. It says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." As you can tell, I am on a walk. It might be noisy. There's a lot of people outside. Well, I am at Silver Lake Reservoir. And this is a place that actually became my green pasture during some of the darkest valleys of my life. Living in Los Angeles as a struggling actor who was financially unstable, constantly questioning my calling, feeling like a failure with my parents as the only child, only daughter, this was a place that I came to pray and to process and to ask God a ton of questions, to lament, to cry even, to listen to music. And oddly enough, or maybe naturally, all the people that you'll be seeing or hearing were reminders that I was never alone and that God was with me. Now, as a friendly reminder, last week, Pastor Ryan focused in not only on the importance of taking Sabbath and building rest into our weekly rhythms, resting in the presence of God, not just doing things for Him. He also talked about the kingdom-oriented promise represented by the green pastures, that no matter what we are going through now, God promises us a vision of a new humanity and heaven that is currently upon us even now throughout our severely broken realities. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, after the psalmist declares this, right, he goes on to spell out the very real truth that along the way to those green pastures, guess what? There are some very dark valleys to traverse through. The NRSV version notes that the phrase darkest valley could be translated into the valley of the shadow of death. It's a given fact that some hopeless times are upon the psalmist and that the danger of death is very present, whether it is a physical one or an emotional, spiritual one. So the promise of a glorious future to come does not mean that there is an absence of pain and brokenness of past or present times. And the psalmist is super unafraid and unapologetic to name the simple truth of the existence of darkness and death that surrounds him, that pervades his life. And in this way, he embodies freedom and permission that we also have, that we also have to own the fact that in our lives, especially during these crazy, unprecedented times, that we are processing overwhelming pain, searing loss, and ongoing grief. And I don't know about you, but I find that to be incredibly empowering and liberating. To not have to hide or to bury the hardships of my life, to look away pretending to be strong, but rather to consider these valleys of darkness, to be a part of the environment that God has designed as you journey into His kingdom. Family, I encourage us to not be afraid or to be ashamed of looking into the darker areas of our lives. And as we do so, I pray that we will be able to discover the beauty within our wrestling and our hardships. And maybe we'll discover something new about ourselves that God has uniquely created. Now, what will sustain us as we go through these difficult valleys? The psalmist actually does not point towards himself as a safekeeper of his own being. He does not put pressure on himself to figure all out. Thank goodness. I mean, I could never figure out my own stuff. But the psalmist fears no evil because of the ever-present comfort that he finds in the rod and staff of the divine shepherd. because God is always with them. He says, the psalmist knows that there's nothing to fear, that there's no principality or power in this world or evil that could possibly overtake him. The combination of this imagery, right, of the rod and staff is a beautiful, I think, interplay of both defensive and offensive care that the shepherd provides for his sheep. Let's first look at the rod. The rod is a short club-like tool, and it was used to provide protection against wolves, coyotes, snakes, and other predators that might attack the sheep. But it wasn't just that. It was also a tool that the shepherd used to count and examine each of the sheep under his care. There's a phrase that shepherds use called passing under the rod. And it's this exact phrase that is used in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, as God talks about his rebellious beloved nation Israel. He says, I will take note of you as you pass under my rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I mean, you gotta love the Lord, right? I mean, this nation that has forsaken him, betrayed him again and again and again, God is saying, I will examine you, not just for the sake of judgment, but so that if you repent, you can enter back into my faithfulness, into my covenant, into the promises that I will never break. God uses his rod to protect us and shield us from our surroundings, from our enemies. Whether it's the circumstances that we are under at work or under this pandemic, the financial struggles that we face, the hurtful words that we receive even from those who are closest to us. And here we are reminded that God's rod is vigilant over us. He's examining us, accounting for us. And as we pass under his rod, we are being brought into his covenant, his promises of the green pastures, his kingdom to come. Now the staff. Right? It is a longer and a more slender stick, usually with a hook at the end, and it was a source of guidance for the sheep. So if the shepherd saw that the sheep was straying off, right, he would use the staff to gently prod it back onto the path. The staff was also used to create, and I love this, intimacy between sheep, right, between the sheep community. So for example, if a newborn lamb accidentally got parted with its mother, the shepherd would use a crooked end of his staff to gently bring it back to its mom. And also, if the sheep would occasionally want the grass, right, on the other side of the cliff and slid down a slippery path, right? Oh, I've never been known to do that, right? Have you been known to do that? Well, the shepherd would take his staff and again pick up the sheep from the edge of the cliff and bring it back into its herd. The staff represents how the shepherd, God, is relentless in pursuing after the sheep, us, making sure we are journeying on the right path, making sure that we are surrounded by our communities, an intimate relationship with one another. And it also represents God rescuing us from moments of precarious, slippery slopes, bringing us back to stable ground under God's watchful care. The rod and the staff. They comfort me. You know, the year 2014 was probably one of the darkest valleys for me. I had just gotten out of a 3-year relationship that I thought was headed towards marriage. I had just been edited out of a national commercial, which, by the way, as an actor, to book a national commercial is like being struck by lightning. So being edited out of something that I thought was going to provide me a launching pad for my career, also financial stability, was heartbreaking. Overall, I was feeling lost and I was very, very unhappy. And on June 10th, 2014, I decided to go out with my best friend, throw all caution into the wind. After a night of heavy drinking, I was pulled over, I was arrested, and I was booked for drinking under the influence. The legal limit for alcohol content, blood content, is 0.08% for an adult. I believe I tested in at 0.16%. And I don't say this, that was not a proud moment of my life. It was actually the worst night of my life. Because I think I knew better. You know, I knew that I knew better. I had gone through an incredible renaissance with the Lord. I was a church planter. I had gone on several short-term mission trips. I was mentoring other sisters. I didn't know what they would say. I didn't know what my pastor would think. Just overall, I felt really ashamed in front of my church community. But also, I was ashamed for my parents. Because like I had shared before, I felt like a failure and a disappointment to them already as a struggling actor, as someone who wasn't financially independent. Yet another reason why they would be disappointed in me. And most of all, I think I was afraid that finally I reached the ending point with God. Because he has shown himself to me again and again and again. And yet I kept on messing up again and again and again. I knew better, right? And incredulously in that moment, God invited me to go on a journey with him, a redefining journey of my valley of darkness. He showed me how at the bar that I was at, he was hovering all over, making sure that there weren't any predators lurking on me. He showed me how he was watching over the car, gripping my steering wheel as I drove my best friend to her car. I don't remember that. He showed me how he cleared the path that I was driving on so that there were no pedestrians or even objects that I could harm. He showed me how he designated two kind-hearted cops, very patient cops, who bothered to park my car after they arrested me in a space with no parking meters or street signs, which if you live in Los Angeles, you know that is a God miracle. I could hear God's voice as he took me along this path, this journey. I could hear him saying, even now I'm with you. Even now I'm watching over you. Even now I'm comforting you because I love you. I saw God's provision over me after I was released the next day through the faces of my two best friends who had somehow figured out on their own what had happened and came to pick me up, fed me, and prayed for me. And I experienced God's grace through my parents. My mom, who actually didn't lose it as badly as I thought she would. And my dad, who I have a very complicated relationship, who called me and said, you know, George W. Bush had a DUI and he became president. George W. Bush is not my favorite president, but he was making a point. I have failed, and yet it was okay. You know, even now, years after, I remember the closeness, the intimacy that I had experienced with God that night. I tasted so tangibly the truth that God is faithful, even in the midst of my lack of faithfulness. And he's vigilant in accounting for me even when I forget him again and again and again. And he comforts me despite my inability to fully rest in his embrace. So I think I kind of get it when I read Psalm 23:4. When the psalmist says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I get it because I think I've definitely encountered that in my own life. And so family, I want to ask you, do you remember the times where God's rod and staff were with you? Do you find comfort in knowing that God's presence are for you? Are you leading out lives that allow your souls and your spirits and your bodies to know that God is good and is closely watching over us? Are you hungry for that? Are you yearning after that? As we continue to journey towards God's holy green pastures, I pray that we will walk through our dark valleys courageously. I pray that our faiths will arise. I pray that we will become sheep that are able to recognize our shepherd's voice. I pray that we will be bold, even when we are walking through the darkness, knowing that we have nothing to fear, because we can put our faith in our divine shepherd.